Hello and welcome to the Greg Fearon podcast with your host, Greg Fearon. And today, finally, I've got my brother from another mother, Rowan Twissera, the founder of, you need to say it for me, is it the Mareki movement? You need to say it before me.
That's it, brother. Oh, all right, Greg, God. It is the Mareki movement, baby. Mareki movement, that's the one.
Awesome. So we kind of met like in a social media group. I think we were helping people out with their questions about nutrition and training and all that stuff. So just give people a bit of a backstory about who you are and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So basically I was actually originally an accountant. So I was an accountant, long hours, relationship, kids, weight piles on, life takes over. And so I still, and as we know, you know, you guys who maybe are in a place where you need to, oh, I've gone out of focus there. Come back. back. I'm still not coming back. Where, you know, we are getting to a place where we just get overwhelmed. I don't know why I'm not coming back. Overwhelmed by life. And the path start to come on very slowly. And before I knew it, I'd gone from 78 kilos to 100 kilos. And I was like, oh my God, I need to sort this out. So I had a bit of an epiphany. I couldn't deal with, you know, the way that I felt. So I took major action. 12 weeks, I went from, I lost 22 kilos. So I went from 100 kilos to 78 kilos. Felt amazing, felt great. And I thought, you know what, coming from such a dark place, you know, for many years being, you know, feeling overweight and feeling so not comfortable with myself and knowing that this isn't the real me, I was like, I need to start helping other people. If I can help myself, maybe I can help other people. So therefore I quit the accounting profession. My dad was like, son, what are you doing? But now he's cool. Now he knows, okay, I get it now. Well done. Left that aside and started now a journey of helping other people. So I founded the Mareki movement, and we are committed to touching and enlightening a million lives, like helping a million people. So that's where we are, baby.
Awesome. Kind of similar story to me, the whole corporate thing, doing my PT on the side. I was like, no, I need to help people. I love it. So
it, man.
You typically help kind of professionals generally and most of your clients, right?
Yes, that's right.
For the Mareki movement. And what are the kind of principles of the Mareki movement? I'm intrigued. I see it a lot on Facebook. I want to see. Talk me through your principles of how to get in shape. That's it.
So the Mareki movement is, it's not for everybody. So I always say that to people who come, like, I get a lot of people saying, oh, I want to join. I'm like, listen, this isn't for everyone. It's the philosophy is very, very simple. We believe that actually the main reason why, you know, a lot of us struggle to get into shape, it's just because we let our excuses take over life, right? And it's all about, you know, I haven't got time to work out. I can't do this. I've got kids. I've got this. I've got that. I can't make the right nutrition choices because of time, because of finances, because of this, that, and the other. So the Mareki movement is all about clearing the path forward. So we move all of these excuses out of the way, all these limiting beliefs. No, that's not true. That's not true. And we create a path going forwards, and we're able to get clients to achieve consistency in making the right choices every single day until we start to really change those habits. So it's all about identifying and removal of excuses so we can achieve progression and consistency.
So let's talk about those excuses, because we probably hear a lot of these kind of excuses, reasons. What are the big ones that come up? So you mentioned time. What else you hear that comes up from clients?
So time being the biggest one. Other ones, one of the, and it's quite a funny one. It's like, I can't do that. And it's like, I can't do that. And again, like, we really work with clients to say, listen, if you say you can't do it, then of course you can't do it. It's done. It's like your brain is like, okay, I can't do that. I'm going to shut that door. I'm going to come over here. Do you know what? That's a little bit hard. I'm going to shut that door because I can't do that. And so therefore we close all the doors. We get frustrated. We don't go anywhere. So we either stay still or we move backwards because we're frustrated that all these doors are closed. And so it's changing the language. What is one of the biggest blocks to making change, not just in weight loss, but in any area of your life, is to say, actually, do you know what? I can do that. Even if you, right at that moment when you say it, you have no idea how you're going to get it done. It's like, just open the door and let's figure out how you step through it and what's on the other side.
So basically, it sounds like you're very much about actions, because, you know, we hear it a lot, and we've been in social media groups and stuff. We've helped people, and what we give out all this advice, because we give tons of free advice, both of us, but actually the key bit to it all is actually taking action, right?
100%. 100% action. It's that, you know, what is, and you nailed it right on the head. It's like, what is preventing you right now, you know, from taking action? Like, what is that thing that's preventing you from taking action? Because we all want to, like, if you say, like, anyone that says, I want to get into shape, it's like 100% they want to do it. It's not like we're questioning that, you know, they're not confused about whether they want to do it. They want to do it. But like you said, like, what is stopping them from taking action? That's it, man. How do we keep that? Like, so I love working with you. And we've had, you know, so many, many interactions over a long period of time is because we speak the same language. And, you know, our job, you know, is to take a client who is here. They want to get there. They take a few steps. They stop taking action. So we're like, okay, guy, girl, let's help you along the way. Let's just direct you in the correct path. And then we just keep them moving and taking action until, boom, get to the goal. And it's like, oh, along this journey, I've learned all these tools, these strategies, these tips. I've got rid of all the blocks, the beliefs that stopped me from getting here. It's like, oh, actually, that's all right, man. Now I'm different.
Mm. And what I love about your work as well is that you talk from a place of simplicity. You're not trying to get anyone to do any complex diets or complex workouts. You're like, literally, do this, do that. But people like to make it extra complex. Why is that?
Yeah, 100%. It's again, you know, there's going to be a lot of smooching between you and me on this call, brother, because you're the same. It's
wait,
like,
man, smooch away, smooch away.
That's mwah, it. Mwah. That's it. It's keep it simple, man. And, you know, we preach the same thing. You know, I saw a post from you today, and it's literally calorie deficit, calorie deficit. So, you know, as a coach, you know, as you know, the fitness companies out there, the fitness giants out there, it's like they can't sell you calorie deficit. It's like, so they can't sell you calorie deficit. You can't sell it. It's like, okay, eat the calorie deficit. Boom. That's all you got to do to lose weight. Then you get all these supplements, you get all these things. I love the articles. The articles are great. If you think about the fitness industry, it's been going probably since, let's say, the 70s. It's been quite trending, right? Since the 70s. When we go, how many articles have been published in magazines? How many, you know, blogs, you know, or on the internet? It's like, it's not been, you know, years and years and years and years of like calorie deficit. So everybody wants to overcomplicate it to go, well, we got this new idea or this new trick or this new thing. It's like, just so you read their stuff or you buy their product. Whereas me and you just saying the same thing every day. You come on a 30-day program with either of us or a 12-week program, whatever it is, 6-month program, we're just going to repeat the same thing every day. Are you in a calorie deficit? Yes or no? So no, okay, let's help you get in a calorie deficit. Yeah. That's it.
Show me. You know what? The word that really scares people, right, is when you say, show me. So like, you know, be like, Greg, I'm not losing weight. I'm definitely eating my calories. I'm like, all right, cool, show me. And yeah, tumbleweeds, just like. Because the proof is in the pudding, right? It's like you said, we can sell all these fantastic ways. We can go keto. We can go low carb, we can go high fat, high protein, whatever. But ultimately, it all comes down to the same thing, right?
100%. Like 100%. 100%. Calorie deficit, man. And it's funny because everybody, you probably get the same thing with some of your clients, is you say, okay, they go, I've not lost weight. I can't lose weight. I'm stressed. I'm frustrated. I'm doing everything you've asked me to do. Well, we've only asked you to do one thing, which is a bit of calorie deficit. And then you go, are you in a calorie deficit? And they go, yes, I'm in a calorie deficit. You go, and we say, okay, thanks. You're definitely not in a calorie deficit, because if you were, you'd be losing weight. And they go, no, I am. Okay, now show me that you're in a calorie deficit. And so there's obviously lots of different ways, like, you know, even just looking at simplicity, like, has your portion size decreased? Like, you know, and that's why taking pictures is really important. Like, you know, some people track calories, some people track macros. Like, you don't have to keep it simple if you want, but is your plate smaller, right? Is your serving of carbohydrates, protein, and, you know, vegetables, low, you know, low calories, pile them on, right?
Pile them on, right? Eat more vegetables, people. Eat more vegetables.
That's it. But those other two, like the fats, the proteins, right, and the complex carbohydrates, have those portions reduced? If not, then how can you be in a calorie deficit compared to last week, where maybe you didn't lose weight, or you were the same, or maybe you didn't lose as much weight? So there needs to be that change. And if you're tracking calories, it's like they go, no, I definitely ate, I don't know, 1500 calories. We'll prove it. How did you eat 1500? Have you logged it on MyFitnessPal? Some of it. Well, then you don't know if you're in a calorie deficit. So let's assume that you're not in a calorie deficit, and let's make those changes this week so you can get those up next week.
And it's always that one as well where people sneak in food and think you're not gonna like understand. So like you talk them through their food journal or whatever, and like, oh, and all of a sudden we get food amnesia. almost. So we forget. It's so easy to forget what you've had on that day. That's why if you track, you got to track it there and then. Do you agree?
100%. No, 100%. And we kind of like come up with these stories in our head. Like I even caught myself now. I've done myself a little bit of a bulk recently. I'm like, all right, let me build some muscle tissue.
And then biceps, man. I'm like,
they'll, my game. They'll go down in a bit. So now I'm like cutting. And so, you know, I'm going to use this tool. Like for me, it works. It doesn't work for everybody, but you know, MyFitnessPal is a tool that I use. And I went to weigh my milk and my mind was somewhere distracted slightly and I didn't weigh it. And I was like, was it 100? Was it 150? Was it 200? And if you do that a few times a day, like you're out by potentially, let's say 150 to 200 calories. Now, if you're in a small calorie deficit, especially if you're a female and you're eating less, right? It's like, well, there could be your calorie deficit's gone, right? And then we don't even know, but we think we are. But, you know, it's that attention to detail to know, are you in a calorie deficit or not? And just knowing, I say to my clients, look, even if you don't want to be so meticulous about what you're doing, just know the science that if you didn't lose, you know, if you've not lost, you know, let's say the different metrics. So if you've not lost weight scales or inches, or you look at your pictures over 2 weeks and there's no difference, you just have to say, well, I wasn't in a calorie deficit. What adjustments can I make to make sure that I am, rather than I can't lose weight?
And that's the default thing, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's my hormones or something else that we invent to make up the thing. People make up so much stuff to... Like, what's the strangest myth you've heard about why people can't lose weight? I want to hear.
I get some really funny ones. It's like, the best one is, I can't, actually, I've got a really funny one that's got probably a little bit deviating, but they're like, I just have to lose weight in my hands. Like, my hands are just like too big. Like, tell me the exercises that I can lose weight in my hands. Tell me the exercises that I can lose weight in my nose. And I'm like, no, look, there's no, like, I'm just going to keep it really simple. Like, if you just want it to lose overall body fat, whether it's in your hands, whether it's your nose, whether it's your eyes, wherever it is, let's just work on the calorie deficit. Some of the excuses that I've heard where people can't lose weight is because, you know, just like the standard ones of like, you know, and I don't want to upset anybody, but yeah, I'm going to keep it real.
No. On this podcast, we deal with honesty because I feel like people, the ladies especially that hear this podcast, need to hear honesty and no fluff. So let's just lay it down, brother. Just lay it down.
Thanks, bro. It's like I'm just going to go right into it. Like time of the month. It's like, okay, time of the month. Okay, you know, there'll be fluctuations in your scales for sure, but that doesn't mean you've put fat on. Right, that doesn't mean you put fat on, right? So yep. if you, you know, and it's like, okay, let's just make that assessment over 2 weeks, right? You know, because if your scales have come up, you know, after you've come off and you're settling back to normality, you're going to see a big jump down if your nutrition's been where it needs to be, you know, if your recovery is where it needs to be, if your exercise is where it needs to be, then you're going to see that big jump. And that's why sometimes we see a client who like, oh my god, how have you just lost like 2 kgs like overnight? No. Not overnight. That's been the product of a week or 10 days or maybe even 2 weeks of consistency now showing, because maybe there's been some deviations in glycogen or salt or water. That's the other thing. I'm not losing weight because of salt. No, you're not losing weight because you ate crazy at the weekend and you didn't log your calories, man. You didn't log your calories. You have no idea. And it's like, just know that, you know, just, and it always comes down to, I run these 3, 5, and 30 programs and it's, what I find, and it's funny, it's like when I first started doing it, used to get frustrated because what I end up doing is repeating myself for 30 days. I do the same thing every day. Same. Now I know it's just on repeat. Now I know it's just standard. And we had a good one this weekend where clients would literally, I said, challenge me. Like, you know, we've got 100 people in the Zoom room. You know, I'm like, okay, guys, just challenge me. Like, I'm saying the calorie deficit, right? Challenge me. Anybody here, 100% in calorie deficit, and you've not seen significant weight loss in the last 7 days. And like a couple of people like, definitely me, definitely calorie deficit. And I'm like, okay, brilliant. Okay, I plateaued. When was a plateau? And they don't know where I'm going. And they go, oh, well, the plateau was Friday. Friday. So what happened Thursday night? It changed Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So is that a plateau or is that the weekend's come and you've been eating stuff and not logging it? Oh, yeah. So it's like, you know, it comes down to just being really honest with yourself, man, because you can get into this really negative cycle, and I know you've talked about this many times, a really negative cycle where if you're not being honest with yourself, guys, we all mess up. Like I mess up, you mess up, Greg, we all mess up, right? Nobody's perfect, right? But just have the honesty to go, do you know what? On a mathematical level, on a simple science level, I have consumed more calories than I need, than I needed to, because I'm trying to achieve this goal. Therefore, I've got to make that adjustment. If you're going, no, the mathematics are correct, even though you've not logged it, you're now saying that you can't lose weight. Therefore, you would take less action, right? Therefore, the results would decrease. So what we want to do is go, okay, went over calories. Let me make the adjustment going forwards with nutrition, right? Not just with exercise, with nutrition fundamentally. We can tag on some exercise as well, but nutrition, make the adjustment. We start to see results. We take more action. We want more. We feel better. So we always want to be momentum, man. That's it, man. That's what we need.
I think you touched on a really, really good point there, right? So there's a lot of things about, what's the word, about the Hayes movement, like the healthier every size kind of stuff, and that calorie tracking is going to give you some eating disorder, which really jars me, because like no one's got a bank account disorder, yet they check their bank account every day.
Exactly.
Like, ladies, if you're listening to this podcast and you've had the bank account disorder, please come and tell me, because I want to hear it. So don't get me wrong, I understand people, there are people who are susceptible to eating disorders because of information they see, but actually tracking your food gives you so much education, and it takes 2 seconds to put it on a scale. Like it doesn't actually take that much time.
100%. And and I'm glad you're raising it, because it is an issue of contention, and almost to the point, and I'm glad that, you know, you've got, you know, you don't care, you're like me, you're raw, you genuinely want to help people, and that's why I love you. I was just saying, Sharon, I'm doing this podcast with you. I love this guy because he genuinely wants to help people from his heart, and I'm the same. So we'll keep it real. We won't bullshit anyone. And it's like, listen, if we're saying, you know, that coaches can't be honest because we don't want to upset people, we're talking about this disorder and that disorder, all we're going to do is we're going to limit our ability to help people, because I'll call it straight. I'll say, listen, there is no disorder, right? Really, what it is an emotional attachment to something, right? And that's it. So let's reframe it to go, okay, we shouldn't get emotional about tracking, you know, progression. If you don't track, you can't measure. If you can't measure, you can't adjust, right? Therefore, all we do is we're just kind of like in the dark, all emotional, right? And we get frustrated. We can't go in the right direction. We end up going round and round and round until we finish, quit, go back to start. We yo-yo, we start again, we fail again. So break the cycle and go, if you can't get on the weighing scales, right? If you can't just stand on a set of scales and go, this is data. And sometimes, you know, if I've gone up, yes, it is upsetting, right? Of course it is, right? But at the end of the day, if your scales are telling you that you have not lost weight, if your measurements telling you that you have not lost fat, if your pictures are showing you that you've not made progression, get upset, definitely, but make the adjustments, right? And it's good that you get upset, because it's like that you care, right? If you didn't get upset, it's like, well, you're not that interested. So just, it's all about data. Just be very rational and logical and methodical with that, and scientific with that, and say, this is a science. Same thing about your bank, right? If you don't have a clue about how much money you got in your bank, your finances are probably going to be a state, right? If you don't have any calories you're consuming, well, I don't even offend anyone, but your health and fitness is probably not going to be in the best order that it could be.
love that. Yeah, man. So just to recap, if anyone has the bank account disorder, please comment, like message me or Rowan, because I want to hear this. Like, it's so funny, you know, I speak to people every day and they're like, Greg, and they talk about cleaning this. I've spoken to a client about cleaning. She was like, oh, I noticed a spider web on there. And I'm like, you know, if you were so meticulous about your nutrition, amazing things would happen. Do you know that? Like, just saying, right?
It's so true. It's so true.
Crazy.
It's so true. And again, this is raw. And like, I love it. I love this conversation, man. Because when it comes to you cleaning the cobwebs, right? And my wife is the same, right? She's got very, let's call it standards, very high standards for cleaning, like, right? And we're great. We're great with the money. We're organizing the you know, everything's all done. Finances have been done. But sometimes when it comes to our body, well, we don't have the same high standards. And so we let things slide. It's like you just said, be meticulous with your nutrition as you are with cleaning your cobwebs, cleaning your house. Like, let's just make sure that in all areas of our life, we've got a high set of standards, not high here, low here, because then we get this pull. Because really, if you've got high standards in a couple of areas in your life, you do have high standards. and you're a high standards person, and it frustrates you and it upsets you, and you can get maybe even depressed about it, that this area you just can't seem to get right. Now, if you've got low standards in all areas, right, and again, I don't want to upset anyone, you've got low standards with your cleaning, with your finances, with your family relationship, with your relationships, with your health, then you probably won't care, right? But I don't think most people generally are not like that. So most people do have a little bit of some higher and some lower, and that's where we get the stress, because we want everything to be high, because we are a person that like that's got high standards, man. So that's where, you know, you will come in and I will come in and just give this person a bit of guidance and say, I understand you're stressed down there, but this is where you're going wrong. I want you to look there, because that's where you need to look. You're looking in the wrong place, man.
And there's nothing wrong with going, I'm not going to put so much effort into cleaning, but I'm going to raise the level of my health. I think that's like a, especially for the ladies listening to this, I think, you know, because I'm not coming around to check your house every day. I promise I'm not going to come and be like, oh, there's a bit of dust there. Like, no one is doing that. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, maybe I'm going to clean the house less and I'm going to get a workout in.
100%, like, man.
All right, let's switch gears for a second. I want to talk about training. So I think over the last few years, and reason why I love, you know, I see your stuff, I'm like, I see you squatting heavy, I see you lifting heavy stuff, heavier than me. What do you think about, like, the whole HIIT revolution against people who should probably be lifting more weights? Just what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And I know there's a lot of different views on that. Like, coming from, it all depends again on your outcome. It's like, I think a lot of people don't have, when they want to get into shape, they don't think about the long-term goal. They just think about the short-term goal. And it comes from sometimes a place of frustration and sadness. It's like, they're so desperate to change. They just want to do whatever it is to get a result. And I think that's great, right? Let's get the result. Let's see some success. But you have to have that long-term plan. And so, you know, I think we're similar in that we will say, look, okay, HIIT training is great, right? It's brilliant. You're going to, you know, burn a lot more calories. You're going to easily get into calorie deficit. So in terms of like short-term getting to that calorie deficit, building some fitness, also building some tone in your body, right? It's brilliant. I love HIIT training. It's my favorite activity. Like, if you put me into the gym and say, do something, bro, and I'm like straight to the HIIT, right? I love it. But
you weirdo.
Yeah, I know. I'm weird like that. People will like go, well, no, man, I thought you're a weights guy. It's like, no. I'm going to say this and just be honest. I'm here to be honest. I actually don't really enjoy training weights, although I do a lot. And the reason for why I do train weights, even though I don't enjoy it, is because I know that the long-term plan, the long-term, you know, it's not just about reducing body fat. It's like keeping that off. And it's like keeping that lifestyle involves weights, because we want to build more lean muscle tissue. We want to raise our metabolism. We want to be able to be an individual that can consume, let's say as a guy, I want to be able to eat maybe like 3,000 calories, right? As maintenance. So if I eat 3,000 calories, I'm not going to put fat on or lose fat, right? So 3,000 is boom. So I can go out, I can, you know, have a pint of beer if I want. I can go out with the family and have a nice meal and enjoy it. I can have that balance of life. And I can, you know, enjoy the body that I have. So that's brilliant. If I'm just doing cardio, you know, let's just say like running or just HIIT or something like that, you know, and I'm not doing the weight training, I'm going to have less muscle tissue probably on my body, right? Therefore, my metabolism is going to be lower. Therefore, I'm not going to be able to have 3,000 calories. Maybe I'm going to only be able to eat, let's say, 2,000 calories. And on 2,000 calories, I've just restricted 1,000 calories a day, where I can be a little bit more flexible with my nutrition, have more balance. I'm then not, you know, eating more than 2,000, going, getting stressed and going, oh, now I've got to jump on the treadmill, do another extra hour of HIIT. And so you become frustrated. And then if you do that, you can start hating training, because it becomes like a form of like a punishment, where, you know, I don't want to train all day. Like, I love training, but I don't want to be like, you know, having to train. I want to train because I want to train because I enjoy it. So that's why weight training for me, I'm able to have that balance in life, you know, and be able to eat a lot freer, because that's the goal. The maintenance is the goal. We can all get a body, but keep it's another thing, right?
Oh, man. Do you know what? I was saying to someone the other day, I don't think people have a weight loss problem. I think people have a weight maintenance problem.
100%, man. 100%. In like a lot of people, it's the first time I've heard someone else say that, you know, because people don't get that. because if you speak to a lot of people and they, and you know, we're working with a client and you go, have you lost weight before? They go, yeah, I've got into shape. And you go, well, what happened? You know, and that's the problem. It's not the fact that they couldn't do it. They've done it before. But like you say, the new territory is keeping it. So as a coach, me and you will always plan to go, let's think about the client's maintenance plan. Like how can we get them to maintain when they finish with us, right? Mm. Not just get them there because they've done it before, right?
Yeah, exactly. And do you know, you just made, so there's so many points you've just made in the last 5 minutes. I can't keep up. There's too much for me. My little brain is going, I, you know, my little brain is going, wow, I want to talk about this, I want to talk about that, I want to talk about this. So really good point that you mentioned was about having more muscle and raising metabolism. So, because I think a lot of ladies are still scared of the weight room, right? I think they're still intimidated. It's good that a lot of gyms are now starting to have ladies-only rooms and stuff. But what would you say to a woman who's like, they want to lose body fat and they want to start training and they want to get in the gym? And what would you say to them, like, on their first day? Go, right, let's do this.
Yeah, it's one of those things we see a lot, and it's a shame because some girls, some women are not doing that, and they're robbing themselves of the result. So first thing to do is just keep it simple, right? Just keep it simple. They can be, you know, obviously, you know, working with a coach like us, we're going to be able to give them a plan that's going to be specific to that person, and you know, taking into account, you know, their knowledge and confidence. But if you weren't working with a coach, it's literally keep as simple as you can. If that means you go to the gym and you do, I don't know, you start with, like, I don't know, 5 sets of 10 body weight squats only, right? Without even picking up a weight, that's fine, right? Then a couple of dumbbells, you know, 3 times 10 shoulder press, maybe some bent over rows, single arm bent over rows. Just keep it, maybe some tricep extensions behind with one dumbbell. Keep it light, get the confidence, because you want to build the habit of going into the gym and going, actually, this is not too bad. Because what you'll find is going into the gym, actually a lot, you know, most people are really friendly and they'll actually help you and give you the smile and give you the nod. You get the nod. Well done. You're here. Well done. That was good.
I see you. You've been there for 2 weeks. I see you. Yeah.
That's it. You know, and then you can start to build on that. But it's just getting comfortable. You know, I think a lot of people are too hard on themselves. Like walking into the weights area is just goal. It's like, tick that off the list. Walked in there, man. I had one client who was an older lady. And she was terrified. And I was like, she wouldn't do it. And I was like, I put it on the line for her. I said, okay, I know you really want to work with me, but I'm not going to work with you unless you do this. And she was like, okay, tell me what you want me to do. I said, she goes, I got a plan for you, but it's really complicated, but you have to do it. You're going to commit to this plan. She's like, okay, I'm going to commit to it because I want to work with you so bad. I was like, okay, brilliant. So I wrote on this piece of paper in big crayon, go into the middle of the weights area, stand for 10 seconds and leave. That's it. That's your session done. And literally she was like laughing. We gave the plan. She walked there. She came back and she's like, and I was like, did you die? She's like, no, actually there was this really cute guy and he like smiled at me. I was like, there's the winner chicken dinner, right? Okay. Now what I want you to do next time is I want you to do, you know, these couple of exercises. And then she loved it. To the point she was like, I won't say who it is because people will know who it is because she's a bit famous, but literally she went in and she literally at her age was able to lift after 6 months of training, the 60 kilo tire and flip it.
Nice.
I was like, and she could barely even, literally she was so frail. She couldn't even walk at the start, and she avoided knee surgery in both knees because she built her strength up so much. So life-changing stuff, man. That wouldn't have happened. She would have had the surgery. She would have, you know, had a very low quality of life if she didn't go and get that training in. Because as the older you get, the studies are there now, research is there, you know, especially 75, but 60 to 75, let's say, over that age, we are more susceptible to osteoporosis, to, you know, decreases in bone density. So weight training is a necessity the older you get, right? The older you get.
You're making my heart sing, man. It's like you're flirting with me. Like, you need to.
But this bought you a drink yet. I haven't even bought you a drink.
Oh, I don't need a drink. I'm easy. But no, I think you're right, though. I think especially for ladies who are listening back to this, that it is a lifestyle. And like you hear the cliche, it's a lifestyle, but you can't live the life you're living and get the independence, the strength in your life that you want, right? Yeah. So you have to live the lifestyle. You can't. I think there is a big thing about people wanting to do get the result, but only do the bits that they want to do.
Mate, that's just like, you're going to make me cry, bro. It's like literally someone really needed to hear that the other day, man. And I didn't say it as eloquently as you. And it is the lifestyle. Like, you can't have the body if you don't have the lifestyle. Because if you even get the body, it's just temporary. You got to get the lifestyle, man. That's so. I'm going to write that down.
Well, it's that classic thing of, you know, it's like what people forget, I think, is that they go to the gym and they do the little Instagram. I'm in the gym grinding. But if things aren't changing, then what you got to look at is actually the stuff outside the gym.
100, man. 100%.
Like, I've had clients where I'm like, listen, what I want you to do this week is just walk 3 times. Oh, but shouldn't I be in the gym? Or no, walk. So it's the simple thing. And then I want you to eat more protein at each meal. That's all I want you to do. And they're like, Greg, the weight's just dropping off me. And I'm like, simple things. But it's the 24 hours or the 23 hours away from working in the gym with me or you or whatever, which is the most important.
100%, man. And that's just classic, you know, getting what we do is get the client to look in a different way. So similar to you, I had a client who just now, the 5 in 30 program is just running. We're in week 2.5 now. And we do I run the 4 classes a week. So these guys come 4 times a week and train. And one girl was like, oh, I'm not coming to the classes because I'm going to the gym. And I was like, okay, that's brilliant. You're going to the gym. Like, how long have you been going to the gym? And she's like, well, I've been going for like 6 years. I said, brilliant. And what's the results you've seen in the past 6 years? And she's like, well, nothing. And I was like, I've got stronger. And I was like, brilliant. Was your goal to get stronger? Because if your only goal is to get stronger, kudos to you. Well done. You're smashing it, right? She goes, no, my goal is to lose body fat. I was like, okay, have you lost body fat? She's like, no. So why are you doing the same thing that's not working for you? You know, let's do something else. So what I want you to do is just commit to come for 30 days to these classes. I'm not saying anything and then change what you're doing because this is not working for you, right? And same thing for you. It's like, just go and do some walking, change your protein. And it's like, oh, something's different. You know, but yeah, what's up? Because you've done something different. Like we are very dumb sometimes. I'm going to say it. We are very dumb as human beings that we just do the same dumb shit that doesn't work. And we expect a different outcome. It's like, no, well, man.
It's the definition of insanity, right?
That's it. Exactly it. Einstein had it.
Exactly. But isn't that the thing? It's like, I spoke to a lady the other day and she was like adamant that she wanted to train me 4 times a week. And I said, no. Because I said what I felt was she needed habit and lifestyle coaching, not training.
Yes.
And she couldn't get her head around it. She was like, no, I've got to get in the gym. And like you said, I said, well, has been in the gym and really smashing yourself into ground worked? No. Awesome. Right. So do you want to change or not? Yes. Well, you can't do the stuff you were doing before.
That's it.
I've got a saying, actually, you're going to like this one. Diet for weight, exercise for shape.
That's exactly it, bro. That's it. That is it. It is literally, that's it. Twofold strategy, right?
But I think what happens is that we think because exercise is so, because you've got the sweat, you've got the out of breathness and, you know, you can do your little Instagram gun show or whatever. You feel like, all right, I'm doing something. Whereas working on things like your nutrition, it doesn't feel like you're doing as much as if you're in the gym, right? And obviously, nutrition doesn't fit into Instagram hashtag InstaFit culture.
Exactly, man. That is it. And a lot of the work, you know, like, again, on this program we're doing at the moment, it's like I said at the start, day one, first coaching call, okay, we've got these 4 classes a week, okay? Are you excited to come? Everyone's like, I can't wait to do these classes. We've never done these classes with you. And I'm like, okay, what have you done before? They're like, we've done these classes with this person and with this. I was like, okay. And I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Those classes are probably better than mine. And they're like confused. They're like expecting me to say, oh, I'm the best trainer with this coaching, this physical training. No, I'm not. I'm literally not. There are so many better, coaches, better with physical training than me. Right? I'm the first to admit that, right? But the difference is don't come here and expect to do my classes and lose weight. Same thing as you, habit, lifestyle changes. That's the only thing that's going to get you to lose weight because it's not the training. So it's like literally reframing people to, because all they want to talk about is exercise. Nah. Like you said, if you want to get lean, toned body, if you want to get shape, Yes, we've got exercise for that. If you want to cut body fat, we've got nutrition for that. Right? They are, and I really go to the extent of saying they're two different things, like just so people really simplify that and get that, just divide them. Don't get them mixed up. Don't get them mixed up. That's it.
Oh, I love that. See, you got to stop flirting with me, brother. Too much. I'm starting to feel romantic and stuff. But I think you're right. Like, have you had any clients, especially female clients, that have got really lean, like kind of bikini, like bikini competition ready? Have you had any clients like that?
I've got clients who've got females who are very lean, but not bikini. So I guess body fat levels probably around kind of like 12%. Around 12-13%, probably no lower than that.
That's that. Do you know what? That's perfect. So that she would have said, so they would have had a pretty much visible six pack.
Yes.
Feeling good. So what did they have to do to get to that level of body fat? Because that's, I'm not gonna talk. I want you, this is your bit to talk to the ladies about how to get lean. Because this is the key.
It's a funny thing, because when we say it, it's that a lot of people just don't get it, they won't understand it, and they probably won't do it. But let's look at my gold team now. So my gold class, gold team, they're like the guys that work with me the closest. So they do strength training with me, they do conditioning with me, and they also get the nutrition with me, right? And so I've got the girls at the moment in this intake of gold. They started with me, and then we went through the scalpel. So first of all, you get the client, the average around, let's say they're about 80 kilos, let's say, like say 78 to 80 kilos, let's say. First of all, they come on and it's just a matter of fat loss. Okay. It's like, let's just hit the calorie deficit, because the first thing we want to see if your goal is fat loss is that you can lose fat, and that there's no, you know, thyroid or, you know, this injury or this problem or salt or anything, right? It is, you can do it, right? So boom, we educate them on calorie deficit. Okay. So then like 10 kg will come off, 20 kg will come off, 30 kg will come off. Okay. So 30 kilograms has come off, right? Around 20 kilo mark, around the 20 kilo mark, we start to transition very hard and very fast to more weight training, right? So the calories, I don't like to take the calories too low. I always say, let's just put a little bit more exercise. Let's just keep the calories, you know, not too low. So let's say these girls are probably on around 1400 calories, right? At the lowest, let's say 1400 calories at the lowest, right? And we're just doing exercise to get that deficit, but very on top of the nutrition, right? So it's 14 exactly, right? Then what we do is we start increasing. Now, this is where people go, what? We start increasing the calories, and they go, how can you lose weight? Like, so we start increasing the calories. We start giving more calories so we can start building quality tissue, muscle tissue in the legs, in the glutes, you know, in the arms, in the shoulders, in the back being a big muscle. We want, you know, a good defined back, nice glutes and legs, hamstrings, especially because a lot of clients, they don't have a good posterior chain. So like legs and hamstrings, glutes and hamstrings. So we start building, we start putting quite a few kilos of muscle mass on, and then you see the weight graph go up, and they're like, hang on, I'm getting heavier, but my inches are getting less. Okay. Then we start building that metabolism up. They go to 15, 16, 17. Now my girl's on 1850 calories and losing fat. Right. When you get to that point, it's boom. And then that's when we start getting that real, you know, on the way to, okay, we're getting to a very, very lean, abdominals are coming through, and people just, they can't get it. They do then, but other people don't get it. It's like, how can they be eating 1750 to 1850 calories and losing fat? Well, it's because they've got so much muscle tissue now, right? In a feminine way, not everyone's going, well, they look like a bloke. No, very lean, feminine, right? But you know, the body recomposition is just, you know, it is literally just when we start, we have our muscle cells are very small, fat cells are bigger. All we do is we start to shrink the muscles, the fat cells, get them smaller, and then enlarge these muscle cells. These muscle cells require a lot more calories in the day, right? So then we start getting a calorific deficit by having a lot of muscle tissue. And then it's like, as long as that consistency in nutrition is there on point, we can start increasing calories and then burning fat. And then that's when you get that really athletic look. And it's like, wow. And that's when you see these girls, you know, on Instagram, right? I just use it because everyone says Instagram girls, right? Who are literally having 17, 18, you know, 2000 calories. And they look very, very lean and athletic because they've got a very high percentage of muscle to body fat.
Do you think ladies are often scared of putting on too much muscle?
100%. And I do this little diagram and with especially the girls, and it's literally like they go, okay, and they will say it, and they say, no, but I've done it before, I've got bulky, and I'm like, okay, let's go through the science, okay? So where were you bulky? They were like, well, in my legs and my arms. Okay, brilliant. Okay, so we just gone through. We're talking about muscle cells and fat cells. So what's happened is your muscle cells have got bigger, 100%. They've got bigger, right? So the circumference of your legs will get bigger, right? Because what you haven't done is address your nutrition. So if you address your nutrition, the fat cells will get smaller. So what you're doing is you're training it in the same amount of calories in the calorie surplus, but you are not, you know, addressing your nutrition, because body recomp involves one, getting muscle cells getting bigger, body fat cells getting fat cells getting smaller. That's the problem is not the weight training. The problem is still the nutrition, right? So that's it.
You're going to upset a lot of people, because I think you've just, like, I love the way that you just hammered home the stress, sleep, nutrition are the fundamentals to getting the body you want, and that training is important. I wholeheartedly agree. But if you want to change the body composition, you've got to sort the diet out.
100%. It's just diet, man. Whatever the goal is, what's diet?
We're not allowed to say diet. We can't say that. Nutrition, ladies.
Nutrition. Yeah.
No, but actually, that's a really good point, actually, that I think the word diet has been destroyed by marketing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, everyone's got a diet. Like the tiger behind me has a diet of antelope and monkeys, right? You know, sorry, vegans. For the vegan crew.
Don't upset the vegans, brother. Come on, man. I get hate mail again.
Yeah, no, but the human diet is like, you know, carbs, vegetables, protein, whatever. Like, I think the word diet has been, I feel like it gets unfairly treated. And I think there's a lot of work to do to get people out of this mindset that diet is a bad thing.
100%. Like, and that's it. Because like you said, exactly. The word diet is like what you eat. So your diet is what you eat. It's not anything to do with the restriction. Like, so if someone said to me, Rowan, what's your diet? I could be bulking or eating a lot of calories, or I could be restricting, but my diet is just what I eat. So what I eat is a lot of oats. I eat a lot of potatoes. I eat a lot of, you know, chicken. That's my diet, right? I sometimes eat some ice cream and have a few beers. That's all my diet, right? So totally, it's just the word diet. Like the diet for a rabbit is, let's say, grass, right? So diet, the word diet's been totally changed. And so people, as soon as you say the word diet, they don't think about what you're eating. It's like a restriction of food. So yeah, totally, man.
Cool. Right, we have to wrap up, you know, because like we could go on forever.
Bro, it goes so quick, man. I literally just done another, it's my second podcast today. I've done one for the NHS as well, and I'm like, literally, it was like time to wrap up. It's like, oh my god, it's that time already.
So before we go, I want you to just leave the listeners with, number one, what's your favorite exercise?
Oh, favorite exercise. I tell you what, my favorite exercise has to be the deadlift. It just has to be the deadlift, the trap bar deadlift. If I want to get specific,
I like trap bar deadlifts as well.
Yeah, man. I love that exercise. It's a really safe exercise for me because I've got a little bit of lower back issues. So the trap bar deadlift allows me to lift a lot of weight. I just feel strong. It makes you feel strong, right? When you lift that weight. So I love the trap bar deadlift.
Nice. And then what are the kind of the main important points people should take away from this podcast and what you've said today? What are the four points that you think every woman listening to this should take away from this?
Okay, four points. Okay, number one, okay, get rid of anything out of your mind. Clear your mind, empty your cup, okay, fill it up with this one word, calorie deficit. If you want to cut fat, calorie deficit. If you could just fill that cup up with one word that says calorie deficit, you will see success. Number two, it is so important that you train strength. Strength training will not make you bulky. Bad nutrition will make you bulky, right? Strength training is important. Number three, don't think about the short-term goal. Think about the long-term goal. Like you said, right? Anybody can get into shape, but the hard part is maintaining it, okay? And number four is just embrace the lifestyle, right? Embrace the lifestyle of your new fitness regime, your new healthy you. If you bring the same lifestyle with you, with your new body, you will go back to before, because the lifestyle is the one that we always say there's two things: internal transformation, external. Internal is a lifestyle change. That's what's going to get you there and keep you there.
Love it. Love it. So we have to have a second part to this bromance. I think
that's it, man.
Let's do that for a couple of weeks. But just tell people where they can find you. Obviously, I'll share links in the notes and stuff. Just tell people where they can find you on Instagram and those kind of things.
Yeah, thanks, man. So yeah, so our Instagram is _TheMeraki Movements. And on Facebook, we are The Meraki Movement, The Meraki Movement. And my name is Rowan Tissera. And you will see me and Greg helping you guys in various forums on Facebook for sure.
Yeah, transformation, recommendation. We're in there. We try and help and just give honest advice and feedback to people, right? Hey,
that's it, brother. That's it.
So ladies, if you're listening back to this and you love this episode, share it with friends or leave a review on Apple podcasts. And yeah, this has been an absolutely awesome episode. I'm going to get Rowan back and maybe we're going to deep dive into training maybe the next time. Continue the bromance, because this has been good. But thank you, man, for coming on. And it's been an awesome episode.
Thanks, bro. It'd be like Hangover 2, man.
Oh, I love it. wasn't there a third one? There were three, weren't there?
That there were three, yeah.
Yes. All right.
But we don't talk about the third one.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Secret one.
Cool. All right, brother. Thank you very much, yeah.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, brother. Bye. Pleasure. Cheers. Bye.